You are Locked On Rockets, your daily Houston Rockets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to a special breaking news episode of Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast commentary on all things Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. As we chat this Monday, the Rockets are in an off day as far as on-court activities. They are practicing, but they don't play again until Tuesday night against the New Orleans Pelicans. They're coming off of three consecutive wins, most recently Sunday's 103-98 triumph over the Orlando Magic, overcame a 16-point deficit. Chris Paul's healthy return, James Harden scored 40 yet again, and if you want full coverage of that game and the wonderful things that have been happening of late on the court for the Rockets, check out our recaps, which you can find in our archives at LockedOnRockets.com. Today's show on Monday, January 28th, we are going to be talking about that team the Rockets are playing tomorrow. That's the New Orleans Pelicans, but not so much through the lens of that one game and that matchup, but the news that has shaken up the NBA today, that being star big man Anthony Davis finally submitting his official trade request via his agent, Rich Paul, to the New Orleans Pelicans. Davis has a player option to become a free agent in July 2020, which makes this the beginning of the inflection point for him, certainly at the deadline, because this is when his new team, if he were to be traded, could have him for two postseasons, potentially, prior to him having the potential to leave them in free agency. But at the latest, I would say this summer, similar to Jimmy Butler last offseason, Paul George the year before that, it's a year in advance of the player potentially leaving, which is when there's the moment of truth for the team with that player, which in this case is the Pelicans, that they have to act to get something rather than risk losing them for nothing in free agency and becoming a wasteland the way things have gone down in Cleveland with LeBron James. And as far as why this is such a big deal, look, Anthony Davis is 25 years old. He averages more than 29 points and 13 assists per game on better than 50% shooting. He's a rim protector, he blocks shots, he's got range out beyond the three-point arc, there's no major injury history. He is as good of an asset as you will ever see on the trade market. To have a guy at his age, a near seven-footer with that level of athleticism, not even to his prime years yet, and without any sort of major injury history, there doesn't appear to be any character concerns, to have a guy with that much overwhelming talent. Now, I don't think he has the same dominance as a James Harden or a LeBron James or even a Steph Curry because it hasn't translated to winning with AD by himself as the focal point of a franchise. So I'm not going to say he's the best player in the NBA. That would be a stretch. But from a talent perspective and age, at 25 years old and the tools that he possesses, a guy like that hitting the market, it does not come around very often at all. You look at the last couple of off-seasons, the big trade names, Paul George, Jimmy Butler, those were, at best, top 10 talent-type pieces. At worst, Anthony Davis, from a talent perspective, is number 4, number 5 in the NBA, and you can make a case that he's higher than that. So between that and his age, also those guys, late 20s, approaching 30, for AD at just 25 years old, he is a massive asset. It's a big loss for New Orleans, a small market franchise. The NBA is a league where quality trumps quantity. It sucks for them to lose their player, but ultimately they have had many, many seasons with AD and have yet to put a true contender around him, so you can see why he wants out. To this point, apparently AD has not given the Pelicans a list of where he wants to go or where he would conceivably be re-signed. He's been linked to the Lakers for some time, that in large part because his agent, Rich Paul, the Clutch Sports Group, also represents LeBron James. There are deep ties there. At this point, all we know is AD wants out, and even if the Rockets aren't able to get him themselves, the bottom line is a player of this magnitude hitting the open market, it can have repercussions well beyond just what team he goes to. It can legitimately change the foundation of the NBA because of how dominant he is, and especially if you're able to pair him with another All-Star, it can bring another team into the championship mix. And as far as today's show, breaking things down from a Rockets perspective, because that's what we do here at Locked On Rockets, we're going to look at it through three prisms. First, what's the best case scenario? Of course, that's if you can somehow get Anthony Davis here to Houston to join the Rockets. What's the worst case scenario? That, in my opinion, would be AD going to the Lakers to join LeBron James. And also, in the final segment of the show, what's actually likely to happen, which my guess is nothing until this summer. And if something does happen now, it'd be a team that is not the Lakers that gets this deal done. Now, to lead off, we're going to discuss what the Rockets could offer to get AD to Houston. It's a long shot, but it's not impossible. The reason we know from Houston pursuing Jimmy Butler that the Rockets were willing to throw in as many as 4 future first-round picks. And that's not insignificant. It wasn't enough to close the deal on Butler in part because they weren't willing to offer 4 first-round picks plus Eric Gordon. But with Butler, you're talking about a player who's got a longer injury history. He's also 30 years old, and he's not nearly the same in terms of overall talent package that Anthony Davis is at 35. So AD, relative to Jimmy Butler, he's younger. He's bigger. He's a better overall talent. So if the Rockets were willing to offer 4 draft picks for Jimmy Butler, you better be sure that you should know that they're going to be willing to offer that and much more to the New Orleans Pelicans in a deal for Anthony Davis. Of course, that's not going to be enough, especially because if you have AD and James Harden together on the Rockets, that team is going to be a very good team for the foreseeable future, so those picks would be late in the first round. You would have to give the Pelicans some sort of foundation piece, and the best asset for New Orleans that they could get from the Rockets would be Clint Capela. And I don't think the Rockets want to move him by any stretch of the imagination, but it's pretty clear why they would have to in this case. It's by far the best young asset that they have. You'd be sliding AD into Capela's spot as the 5 here in Houston. And as far as the Pelicans, it's tough for small market franchises to get players to stick around for Capela, a guy in his mid-20s who is signed for 5 seasons, including this one moving forward at $16 to $18 million a year. It's a very team-friendly contract. He's a great young player. Very quality on the defensive end, where he's borderline elite as a rim protector, a rebounder. Offensively, he's good, not great, but overall, you're looking at a guy who's averaging 18 points, 13 rebounds a game, also a couple block shots. That's absolutely a better scenario for the Pelicans than watching AD leave for nothing in 2020 and taking the cap space. Clint Capela is definitely a positive asset. So that's enough to get you in the door if you're the Rockets. That's enough to at least start a conversation. And potentially, I think the Rockets would be open to discussing Eric Gordon as well. As far as a player of Anthony Davis's caliber, I don't think there's anything short of James Harden that would be off the table for Daryl Morey. They would move heaven and earth to get this deal done. It's just a matter of whether they have enough. And I think Clint Capela and the future first-round picks, it's enough to start the conversation. The reason that I'm skeptical, at least at this point in time, that it's enough to actually get a deal anywhere near the finish line is because I don't know what the upside is. With Capela, certainly defensively, he's a very good player. Offensively, he's good, but there are limitations. He doesn't really create his own offense. The future first-round pick, you could also say what young assets the Rockets have, Isaiah Hartenstein, Gary Clark, maybe even Daniel House Jr. There's a lot of quality, or quantity, I should say, but it's a league where quality typically trumps quantity. And if you're New Orleans, what you want are high upside pieces that can potentially be the star of your next generation. I don't know that even Clint Capela is capable of being that guy. I think their focus right now is on getting a very high upside type of piece that they can build their team around moving forward. Now, if for some reason they can't get that, then down the line, maybe a package like Clint Capela and future first-round picks becomes attractive this summer. But right now, the market is so wide open because with AD's contract, meaning that whoever trades for him, if he were dealt, would have him for not 1, but 2 postseason runs, really that opens up the entire league as possibilities because we're in an era where Paul George ended up staying in Oklahoma City when no one thought he could, and that was only 1 year. Now you're talking about a year and a half, including 2 postseason runs. Any team in the league could see this as an opportunity to get what might be the league's most talented player. So if every team in the league is motivated to put forth their peak offer, is Clint Capela and 4 future first-round picks, that's the max the Rockets can throw in, and when you consider that those would likely be towards the back of the first round, assuming health for Harden and AD, It's a solid offer for New Orleans, but I highly doubt that it's the one with the most upside. There would be someone with a very high draft pick, a recent high lottery pick. Maybe it's the Sixers with Ben Simmons, who has some Louisiana ties, went to LSU. There's a lot of directions that they could go. It also could be the Pelicans simply wanting to get AD out of the Western Conference. But the bottom line is, right now, there are simply too many other possibilities. My guess is somebody offers them the type of high upside piece, the guy that New Orleans could point to and say, this guy could be a superstar that the Rockets package with Capella and all these future draft picks just can't really say. So that's why I doubt that there is a path for Houston to get Anthony Davis this year. Now, maybe you could say, if the Pelicans sell off, I'm sure some will say, well, they can't get AD, but can they get, you know, Nikola Mirotic? Could they look at Julius Randle? Perhaps, but I don't know that the Pelicans look at trading those guys until they trade AD. Honestly, in my opinion, if the Pelicans keep AD, you may as well hope that you can salvage this season, sneak into the playoffs, and then, as they did a year ago, you know, they swept a good Portland team in round one and then took a game from the Warriors in round two, and at points in that, seemed pretty close to actually challenging them based simply on AD's individual greatness. So to me, if they don't move AD, I'd be a little bit surprised if they move the other parts. If they don't move AD, I think they may just roll with it for the rest of the season and hope against hope that maybe they catch lightning in a bottle the same way they did late last season and try and make one more run at things. I think AD is the first domino that drops, and if it does drop now, my guess is that it's going to be because a team offers the type of high upside piece that the Rockets don't have. Now, maybe down the line, if this thing drags into the summer, then potentially I could see, if it goes into the summer, then that means that whoever would acquire Anthony Davis would only have him for one postseason run guaranteed rather than two. So maybe that drives down his market elsewhere in terms of his suitors. Also, maybe that by that point, you can have James Harden, Chris Paul, whoever it may be, getting into Anthony Davis's ear, and perhaps he goes to the Pelicans or makes it just clear around the league that Houston's one of only a very small amount of teams on his so-called list that he would re-sign with. So perhaps with only having one postseason left, and if he puts out a list this summer, then maybe that can drive down his outside market to where the Rockets can be competitive. It's not impossible because, again, Clint Capella on a very team-friendly contract and four future first-round picks, yeah, you better believe it's a better scenario for the Pelicans than watching him walk for no compensation. So it's not impossible. It's just right now the parameters are so wide for a deal because he has two postseasons left on his existing deal that I just think someone would outbid the Rockets in terms of quality over quantity in terms of the offers that can conceivably be made by next week's trade deadline. So I think Daryl Morey, will he make a call? Yeah, he should. I just don't think the Rockets can get it to the finish line right now. If you want AD to the Rockets, and it's a long shot no matter what you want is for this thing to drag on to the summer. And then at that point, it's still a long shot, but maybe between only having one postseason left rather than two on his contract, and if he's willing to put out a list and say the Rockets are one of the only teams he would re-sign with, maybe that's what gets the wheels in motion for some actual legitimate talk of AD to Houston. At this point, would I like it? Of course I'd like it, and I know Daryl Morey is going to try. Just personally, as we chat on this Monday, January 28th, I think it's a bit of a pie-in-the-sky scenario, at least when it comes to potentially acquiring Anthony Davis this season here in Houston. Could it happen down the line? I still think it's unlikely, but it's at least plausible. We can talk about it more this summer if he's still on the Pelicans then, and of course, assuming he still wants out. So that's why the best-case scenario, getting Anthony Davis to Houston, I don't really see that as realistic at this point in time. The worst-case scenario, unfortunately, which is Davis landing in LA, that's a bit more realistic, but I still don't think it actually happens anytime soon. More on that momentarily. So as we continue our episode Monday, breaking down the landscape of the Anthony Davis trade request and what that means for your Rockets, we spent the initial segment discussing what would have to happen for AD to end up in Houston, which is the ideal scenario. You know Daryl Morey wants a guy who's 25 years old, nearly 7 feet tall, averaging more than 29 and 13 a game, good shot blocker, has range out to the three-point line. He's nearly a perfect talent, and again, is just 25. So yes, Daryl Morey is going to be placing calls. However, the Rockets offer, which it's not bad. Clint Capella, 4 future first-round picks. That's the max they can give up. Maybe you can involve Eric Gordon as well. It's certainly a better scenario for the Pelicans than losing AD for nothing. It's better than just cap space, especially in a small market. The cost certainty of Capella's contract for 5 seasons, including this one, that's attractive to a young team in their situation, because the toughest thing if you're a squad like New Orleans is to acquire top-shelf talent, especially if you don't bottom out. We'll see what they do, but right now they're not in position to get any sort of high draft pick. The Rockets will definitely place calls. I just don't think, as outlined in the initial segment, that they have what it takes to get a deal to the finish line right now. So the best-case scenario for the Rockets, I don't think it's happening this season. The worst-case scenario, to me, it could. I don't think it's likely, but it could. And that's Anthony Davis ending up with the Lakers. And the reason Davis has been linked to the Lakers for some time, of course, since LeBron James went there, the question has always been, who's the next star that's going to end up in LA? That's what LeBron does. He's got a gravitational pull to him, maybe the best player of all time. And Anthony Davis now has Rich Paul as his agent, Clutch Sports Group. That's also, of course, who represents LeBron James. So there's a lot of links there between Anthony Davis and the Lakers. We know about the dinner earlier this season. And in a perfect world, my guess is that that's where Anthony Davis would want to be. And as far as the Rockets, the reason that scenario is so threatening is because that's the one place where you could put Anthony Davis that, to me, that's the one Western Conference team that, if they added Anthony Davis, you could see being better than the Rockets, even at Houston's best. Right now, I know the Rockets are just 29-20, but I think the Rockets feel pretty good about where they're at, because we've talked about their high upside wins of late. In the past month, they've beaten the Warriors, the Thunder, the Nuggets, the Raptors, the Celtics, and that's been without Chris Paul, and in many cases, without Paul and Capella, or Paul and Eric Gordon. I think the Rockets, with James Harden in this incredible form that he's in right now, they feel pretty good that if they are right and if they're healthy, and that's not guaranteed, maybe the pieces don't align, maybe there's chemistry issues, maybe Chris Paul has another injury, there's lots of things that can happen. But I think the Rockets, even though they now just sit at 29-20 in the 5th spot in the Western Conference, I think they feel like their A game, if they are right, that only the Golden State Warriors, and it's not even a given that the Warriors could do it, are capable of beating them 4 times out of 7. That's not a guarantee that they're going to get back to, at a bare minimum, the Western Conference Finals. I just think right now, the teams that are the other upper echelon threats, the way the Western Conference is currently constructed, the Nuggets, the Thunder, the Blazers, those types, I don't think the Rockets fear them. That's saying that it's impossible that those teams could beat them, but I think the Rockets, they feel like that they have a gear that only the Warriors are capable of matching. They think that right now, assuming they're healthy and right, that if they play their game in the playoffs, they're going to get to the Western Conference Finals, they'll get another best of 7 try against Golden State, and they'll take their chances once they get there. The one scenario that, to me, could change that is if you get Anthony Davis to LA, because no matter what you have to give up, if you combine LeBron James, especially in the playoffs, hashtag playoff LeBron, with Anthony Davis, that combination of skill, length, two-way play, that is incredibly daunting. Now, you might not be able to fully optimize that team until the offseason, when you could use all your tools, such as the mid-level exception, to bolster your supporting cast around them. But just those two alone, especially in the playoffs where there are no back-to-backs, so you can extend minutes a little more, that could be really, really daunting. That's the one team with so much top-end talent, if Anthony Davis went to the Lakers, that would make even Houston and perhaps even Golden State, with their 5 All-Stars, a little bit of afraid, just simply based on how dynamite that top two is, the talent package between LeBron James and Anthony Davis. That's why the Lakers scenario is so daunting, because that's the one spot where if you put him with LeBron James, that's really scary, and that might be the one scenario where even if the Rockets play their game, they just don't feel that they have the talent, because, boy, as far as upper echelon talents go, that's as good as any duo in NBA history, at least from a talent perspective. We have to wait and see how it would play out on the floor. But yeah, that's a worst-case scenario, and that's something to fear. The good news is that I doubt that actually happens this season. Here's why. The package the Lakers could conceivably offer, some combination, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, Lonzo Ball, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope to help match salaries, future first-round picks, it's somewhat limited by the same market forces that make me doubt that a Rockets deal could get to the finish line. Is Clint Capella a good player in a vacuum? Sure he is. But would you bet on Clint Capella as a franchise centerpiece moving forward? I don't know that I would. Not to say that he's incapable of it, but is he capable of truly, without another upper echelon playmaker like James Harden and Chris Paul to do some of the heavy lifting and setting him up on offense, capable of being a franchise centerpiece? I don't know. Well, the same arguments could be made for Kyle Kuzma and Brandon Ingram. Lonzo Ball, too. Those are nice players, certainly. But in the landscape of NBA assets, those are probably B plus level. They're not the A chip or the A-level blue chip where you say, wow, my team could build around this guy or these couple of guys moving forward. And to me, when you're moving a player of Anthony Davis's stature and you're in a small market like New Orleans, it's about the upside. And right now, with two postseasons left on Anthony Davis's contract, nearly the entire league could see a path to contention with Anthony Davis. That's where the parity of the league also hurts the Lakers in this instance. Because other than about five teams, the Phoenixes, the Atlantas of the world, at the bottom of the barrel in each conference, and there's only a couple of those, really the entire league is close enough to where if you put Anthony Davis on there, even, say, a team in the middle of the pack in the Western Conference, like a Dallas, you find a way to get Anthony Davis there, and all of a sudden they feel like between Luka and AD that they could contend. And with Anthony Davis at only 25 years old, there's only 5 or 10 players in the entire league that I think would be off limits. So when you consider how wide the potential market is, would a package headlined by Brandon Ingram and or Kyle Kuzma and Lonzo Ball, is there enough juice, is there enough upside there to where it would outweigh any other offer from the rest of the league? Personally, I don't see it. And even if AD wanted to try and leverage his way to the Lakers by saying, well, I'm only going to re-sign with LA, so if you're another team, why would you try? I think, especially after watching Paul George stay in Oklahoma City, I don't think teams are going to be afraid to call his bluff, especially with two postseasons left. In many respects, I think the Lakers are in the same spot the Rockets are, which is that their odds increase significantly if this situation goes on into the summer. At that point, maybe it makes sense for the Pelicans to do a deal with the Lakers. If New Orleans does a deal right now, to me, it's because they get the kind of high upside piece that they feel like they can build around moving forward. And with AD having two postseasons left at a minimum on his existing contract, wherever he goes, that opens up possibilities. It hurts the Rockets, which is the best case scenario, because I just don't think the Rockets have the kind of high upside piece to get a deal to the finish line right now. But the good news, the worst case scenario, which is, and it's going to be talked about a lot because everybody would love in the media for LeBron to team up with Anthony Davis. It's good for clicks, it's good for ratings, all that kind of stuff. I also doubt that the Pelicans are willing to deal with the Lakers at this point in time, just because unless they really view Ingram, Kuzma, someone like that, significantly in a more positive light than I do, then I don't think that package has the upside either. To me, if a deal gets done now, comes from a team that's not the Rockets, but also not the Lakers. Maybe the Sixers, that's what I keep coming back to a lot, because Ben Simmons could make a lot of sense for the Pelicans, or some other package like that, to where some team with two postseasons left is willing to move a true upper echelon, high upside piece. I don't know if the Rockets have that piece, but the good news is that I don't think the Lakers do either. Now, the Lakers have more in terms of quantity, in that you can combine Ingram, Kuzma, Lonzo Ball, some package thereof. But again, it's a quality over quantity league. And for much of the same reasons why I don't think a Rockets deal with Clint Capella and 4 future first-round picks is feasible at this point in time, I would also be surprised if the worst-case scenario, which is a Laker deal and potentially pairing LeBron James and Anthony Davis in the Western Conference, I also don't think that deal is all that reasonable at this point in time either. Now, as we close out Monday's show, we spent the first couple of segments, this Anthony Davis-themed episode with his trade request, trying to break down what it could mean for the Rockets and the ripple effects if he were to be dealt. Obviously, the best-case scenario is if he were to somehow end up in Houston. The worst case is if he ends up in L.A. with LeBron, because that creates another Western Conference super team that could potentially get to the Rockets' level, or at least the level that they think they are at when they're healthy, and we've seen glimpses of that. They haven't done it as consistently as you would like this year, being 29-20, but right now they think, and there's evidence to support, that when they're right, that the Warriors are the only team in their class, at least in the Western Conference. Now, the East, who knows? You've got some good teams there, Toronto, Boston, Milwaukee. But at this point, if the Rockets get out of the Western Conference, they'll happily deal with whatever their problem is in the NBA Finals. Their focus is the West and getting another shot at Golden State and trying to optimize their roster to get through that best of seven series. She'll worry about everything else after that. Now, as far as what's likely to happen with AD and what it means for the Rockets, so the first couple of segments explaining why I don't think a Rockets deal is happening anytime soon. I also don't think a Laker deal is happening. What actually will happen? My hunch is that this drags on into the summer because I don't know that any offer they get would be compelling enough to get them to act this soon. The general template has been for teams to act about a year before free agency. And again, with Paul George showing a willingness to stay in Oklahoma City and they dealt for him the summer before, just one season, I don't think it necessarily would draw that many teams out of the market this summer that conceivably might be in the market now. So my guess is, unless they are just blown away, the Pelicans will just wait to this summer because everything will still be on the table. Plus, the team that's not really that directly relevant to the Rockets because they're out east, right now, the Boston Celtics, who in terms of mega offers potentially available, they're a contender. Of course, they'd like to have Anthony Davis. They've been linked to him for some time. Right now, unless they trade Kyrie Irving, and that's pretty unlikely, they can't because Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving are both on five-year contracts, and that goes back to the Rose Rule. A team is not able to have both of those, two of those players at one time. This summer, once Kyrie becomes a free agent, then when he's re-signed, presumably on a different contract, then at that point they'd be eligible to receive Anthony Davis. And at that point, not only are the Celtics another suitor for the Pelicans, but that's also leverage that they can apply to the Lakers and anyone else. So unless the Pelicans are blown away in the next 10 days or so before the deadline, my guess is that this thing extends into the summer when the Celtics can become a suitor, and that's not directly relevant to the Rockets because it's an Eastern Conference team, but as far as the landscape, it's yet another reason why I think nothing happens over the next 10 days. Now, as far as the immediate horizon, the good news is that with all this uncertainty and Anthony Davis has missed the last few days with a hand injury, it's probably unlikely that he rushes back to play Tuesday night, that's tomorrow, against the Rockets. So on paper, it should make that win a little bit easier for the Rockets, and that in and of itself is a nice little bonus. But as far as this season, it's yet another reason why I highly doubt he gets to LA this year. And really, I think it's doubtful he goes anywhere. It's possible, but it would take a true godfather offer, in my opinion, to get the Pelicans to move him by the trade deadline. If they wait until the summer, the Celtics are in the picture, and you better believe the Lakers aren't going anywhere. I'm sure there will be some Laker fans in a desperate attempt to try and get him there now that will say, oh, you wait until the summer, and we might not offer the same package. That's BS. First off, the Lakers are not going to chance. They're not going to get to the summer and say, oh, no, we're not going to offer for Anthony Davis. We'll just wait for him to become a free agent potentially in July 2020. No, they've gotten ripped deservedly for using the wait-and-see approach with Paul George and not going all out for him the summer he went to Oklahoma City. So I don't think that Magic Johnson's going to sit on the sidelines. No, this summer, even though he'd be within a year of free agency, they would still be willing to offer the same package they are now. That's always going to be there. So really, there's no time pressure there. And if anything, with Boston, another contender that has premium assets in terms of draft picks, young players, that kind of stuff, you might can leverage even more out of the Lakers or other contenders by having the Celtics in the mix. So all of those are reasons for the Pelicans to wait. The only reason for the Pelicans to act now, and typically in this league, it's a deadline-driven NBA. That's what drives these deals. And the only time pressure that is facing the New Orleans Pelicans right now is a team that might not be able to keep Anthony Davis long-term. If you trade for him now at the deadline in February 2019, you get him for two postseason runs before his contract runs out instead of one. That is the only scenario. If it's a team that's not on his direct list, i.e. not the Lakers, a team that's been linked to him forever, that would drive a deal now. Because that team, if one exists, they might be willing to offer more in February than they would in June or July. Because you would get two runs with him and extra time, basically two seasons, to try and convince him to stay long term. That if there's a deal, is the driving force. That's the pressure that is facing the New Orleans Pelicans. If it's a team like the Lakers, the Celtics, and you can throw the Rockets in there as well, they're not going anywhere. These contenders that want Anthony Davis, they're secure in who they are. They're not afraid. Whatever the offers are from the Lakers, the Celtics, and even the Rockets, they're going to be there the same way this summer that they are right now. So what is the incentive for New Orleans to act? Especially if it's a Western Conference team, like the Lakers and the Rockets are, because you know they'd like to get a player that dominant out of the West. And the Celtics, they're a contender, but they can't even acquire him now because of the contractual rules that they can't have two players on five-year contracts unless they're willing to trade Kyrie Irving. I think that's rather extreme at this point in time. So, because of that, my guess is that either Anthony Davis is not moved at all. If I had to bet, that's what I would assume happens. This rolls into the summer. Or if he is dealt, it's some team that's off the beaten path that is willing to throw in a super high upside piece for the gamble of getting two postseason runs with Anthony Davis, parts of two seasons, to try and sell him on sticking around long term. I don't see a scenario where it makes sense for the Pelicans to do a deal with the Lakers by the trade deadline. So as far as what the AD trade request means for the Rockets, the bad news is that I don't really see any pathway to a deal to get him in Houston for the time being. And I'm also somewhat skeptical that the Pelicans do a true sell-off. I'd like to see them do it, but I don't know that it makes sense to strip off the supporting cast if you're keeping AD. If you're keeping AD, you may as well just hope against hope that maybe you catch lightning in a bottle again and see what happens. Because obviously the optimal scenario, you're never going to replace him in terms of the caliber of player he is. No matter how small the chances are, if you're keeping him, maybe try and make one last run at this thing. Who knows? See what happens once you get to March and April. The good news for the Rockets, though, is that I also don't see, for many of the same reasons, why he would go to the Lakers and create this just dynamic duo with LeBron James. That's the fear. That's the one team that if you add Anthony Davis to it, that even this year, without the benefits of chemistry or filling out a full roster and supporting cast around them, that just from sheer talent could actually threaten the Rockets on that top tier with the Warriors that they still think that they belong in. I don't think that scenario is likely either. So to me, either AD sticks with the Pelicans and all of this is a non-issue until the summer, or he goes to somewhere that's not the Rockets, not the Lakers, that's off the beaten path. And at that point, you know, if it's another Western Conference team, who knows? We'll have to assess based on who it is. But at this point, it's pointless to speculate too much over. And I think in a perfect world, the Pelicans would actually ship him east. That's why I keep coming to Philadelphia a few times. That might be one of the limited situations where it makes sense for the Pelicans to do a deal now. Anyway, with that, that'll wrap up our Anthony Davis-themed episode on this Monday, January 28th. I think that's enough non-Rockets game talk for one day because, you know what? All of this is speculative. The good news is that we have a lot of more definitive things to discuss, most notably the Rockets' improved play, having won 18 of their past 24 games, including 5 of 7 without Clint Capela somehow. And now, on top of playing well, they've got Chris Paul back healthy. You're pairing him with James Harden, and now you've won 3 straight games, and you finish up your homestand appropriately against the aforementioned New Orleans Pelicans. And perhaps Anthony Davis, hopefully not, because it'd be easier to win if he sits out tomorrow night at Toyota Center. So until that game and our subsequent recap, this is where we will leave off. If you want more content before our next episode, the best place to get it is on Twitter. You can find me on there at Ben Dubose, the show on there at Locked On Rockets. Also, don't forget our email address, lockedonrockets@gmail.com, where if you've got questions about the team, I've had a couple of you reach out to me already about the Anthony Davis possibility this morning. So yeah, reach out to me there, but also facebook.com/lockedonrockets, website lockedonrockets.com. All those are ways you can access our prior content, ask me questions about the team, make advertising inquiries, pretty much anything we can do to make this a better podcast experience for you, the Rockets fan, or even you, the businessman or human being. Don't hesitate to reach out and let me know. Also, if you're not subscribed to the podcast already, please do. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, Megaphone, wherever you listen, because we're part of the great network at the Locked On Podcast Network, we should be on there. We've got great distribution. So subscribe, leave 5-star reviews. That's how you get episodes before I'm even able to post them on my Twitter feed, delivered right to your inbox. And if you'd be kind enough to leave a 5-star review, that's how we can look attractive to potential advertising clients and keep the business model rolling as the only daily podcast covering Houston Rockets basketball. Also, if you got a smart speaker recently for the holidays, or if you work with voice assistant providers while you're driving, working out, whatever it may be, just say play podcast Locked On Rockets, and you can find our most recent episode that way as well. So with those plugs complete, this is where we will wrap it on this Monday, January 28th. As always, thanks for listening, and please come back soon, tomorrow that is, Tuesday, January 29th, for a recap of the next Houston Rockets basketball game, a lot more definitive things to discuss when the Rockets resume play, finish up their current three-game homestand against, of all teams, the Anthony Davis-led New Orleans Pelicans. For now, enjoy the start to your week, and come back soon for more episodes right here at Locked On Rockets, your home for daily coverage of Houston Rockets basketball.